Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and life. Ha! Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. LER, Lower Extremity Review, evidence-based magazine. And UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader. Baby boomers and concussion care. What a combination. Rick Bava, the baby boomer leader, author, and major contributor to today's senior magazine world. He returns. And then Shandani Khan, she's the founder of Return to Life, helping healthcare clinics, organizations, and individuals with all concussion-related challenges. Then the sports doctor's in with some Dr. Bob Wisdom emails. Hey, Rick Bava, one of our favorite guests, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Oh, Dr. Bob, so good to be with you and your vast audience. Was really looking forward to it. A lot of our readers and a lot of people who follow Baby Boomers on social media sent me notes ahead of time that they were looking forward to our show, Dr. Bob, because I think over time now we've had these check-ins about the Baby Boomer generation on your
right.
show. So
well,
just
we've also got
with
quite
you.
A few guests, Rick, in the world yeah. of brain health and wellness and boomers, whether we're talking fall prevention or dementia care or all of these challenges.
Sure.
I've probably had a dozen guests from your world over these past X amount of years. And this is why it's so important, whether I'm talking youth sports or weekend warriors, or we're talking about trying to keep the pickleball injuries down with all you boomers, man. It's a
yeah.
important topic. Give us some background on yourself and the world of baby boomers.
Well, three things, Dr. Bob. First, celebrating our 22nd year with today's senior magazine, obviously the leading publication for our generation. Second of all, I think it's just really been great. You know, I mentioned to you off air, so many people were looking forward to our show together because they've heard us in the past, and they sort of kind of look at it as a kind of a tradition. We check in together and they get a good snapshot of the baby boomer
generation. Well, today,
generation.
You know, what we're paying big attention to today, 80s the new 60. 70s the new 50, and people want to be healthy. It's an
health and wellness.
Health and wellness
is one of the top priorities for baby boomer generation, and I think there's no question, Dr. Bob, that's why they pay attention to your great show.
Yes. Well, physically and mentally. You know, two, three months ago, I had from the Netherlands, I had a Taoist specialist from the Netherlands talking about 2,500-year-old life principles that made as much sense into today's locker room that it did then. The idea of, you know, paying attention to some of these rest and recovery importances and the importance of being active. And that's why on the world of our seniors, we're making a big deal on the Sports Doctor of what I call the new medicine. Very simple, everybody. Get your pencils out. Number one is eat smarter, and we could do 10 shows on that topic. Be educated on the world of nutrition. Number two, keep moving. There's lots of choices. You want to be a runner, you want to go to the gym, you want to do Pilates, you want to do yoga. And number three is a big one. I call it the mental game on the Sports Doctor, and that's reduced stress. Pay attention.
Yes, that's true.
And these are the things with all the new science and whatever – And again, you know, with the baby boomer generation, where people, again, they want to stay active as long as they can. And whether you're talking finances or health and wellness, or we're talking about, you know, I've got to rename my newest book. It was hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Now I've got to rename it hashtag Hey Sports Grandparents.
That's right. They're so involved.
Very much so. And I mean, we've got to cherish and count our blessings. Your book, you know, In Search of the Baby Boomer Generation, did you find it?
Dr. Bob, you know, it's interesting. It's a milestone to be talking with you because we're just celebrating the 11th year of publication for the book. And yes, we did, in fact, find it.
I was going to say, you've got that magic combination to raise a glass to. You got 22 years with the magazine and half, 11 years again with the book. It sounds like a good omen, man.
Yeah, it really does. And I was really looking forward to speaking to you today because it's just, with all the good things happening, I couldn't think of anybody more appropriate to share the information
with you. Flattery will get you everywhere. Rick,
I have a lot of respect for you. I've told you that off here. I have a lot of respect for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how do people find out more information about the magazine and everything involved with you and your work? Where's the best sites to go to?
So gracious of you to offer that. It's one of the most popular sites. All you got to do is just type in Today's Senior Magazine, and it'll come up.
Okay. Now, I have some advice for you and your whole world physically, big time. Today, fall prevention is one of the biggest things we are dealing with. So is the diabetes world. We're surrounded with this plague. This is why I'm paying so much attention to trying to intervene in the world of type 2 juvenile diabetes. 25 years ago, the title was adult onset diabetes. And then there was this explosion of teenagers with the problem. So the physical side, again, in fall prevention, whether it is paying attention to be in the proper shoes or whether you take very seriously what I'm going to say to you, seniors and boomers, whatever your activity level is, which is number one, include strengthening your feet and ankles. And number two, work on balance. You want to include those particular things to do your best. And if necessary, absolutely, you should include podiatry in the repertoire of doctors because there's nothing more important than your foot mechanics when it comes to getting older in so many different ways. So we really want to pay attention to some of those things constantly. And just as much as you do with the cognitive side and with this explosion, Rick, I wanted to ask you about it. And, you know, in the anti-aging world, functional medicine world, you know, with our cockamamie healthcare system, you know, good luck to us with what we're trying to do. And you deal with all of these different concerns, don't you?
We really do. But I must tell you that you're spot on. People are becoming more active. Of course, their doctors are asking them to exercise more, and what you talked about with the
diet. You cannot be aggravated. You can't be pissed off, pardon my French, when you're exercising. Very, very
difficult. You know, the other thing
so
I was going to mention to you.
You don't want to drive yourself crazy, but you want to include this particular fact that you are, and that's what's ironic. This adding of activity constantly is as important in early adolescence for the type 2 diabetes I was talking about as it is to seniors and super seniors, where we want to try to be able to do the best we can to feel good. Then exercise is one of the best medicines we've got, and that's what the irony is so is nutrition. Nutrition is really, really natural medicine.
I think you added one, too, earlier in the discussion about stress. And, you know, people always associate stress with the workplace. But, you know, family issues, baby boomers, our grandparents.
Rick, is that before you bring in politics or after?
Well, that's one thing
about stress.
That's one thing about us at Today's Senior Magazine. We don't get into the politics because we want to serve all baby boomers. We want to serve all baby boomers.
Yes. And is the baby boomer population growing? It seems like by leaps and bounds in so many different areas. You know, I used to think years ago that the 55 and older community was the older community. You know, but years ago, again, there was this term called alternative medicine. And for 40 years on the sports doc, you would, you know, either Eastern medicine, Western medicine. And then years ago, someone came up with, hey, I know, let's call it complementary. So it's not either or. And this is something that we're very excited about. Again, we'll call it functional medicine, which means paying much more attention to the individual and their life and what they do and how they do it to, you know, in the United States, you can't watch television for 5 minutes, Rick, without watching a commercial for a drug or a diet.
Right.
Do you know United States?
No question about it. No question about it. Dr. Bob, let me ask you, how does this thesis marry? Because you have, of course, the huge American audience, but you also have the show across Europe. How do the two audiences relate to this subject matter?
Well, I'll tell you this. If you watch 60 Minutes, in the last couple of shows, they talked about childhood obesity, which I've been talking about for 30 years. But they also talked about Japan, where they have virtually no obesity.
Because
they feed their kids much, much differently than we do. So internationally, when I have concussion experts on from around the world, the Aviv Clinic in Israel, where we've had individuals talking to us about hyperbaric oxygen, there's tremendous work being done in the area of dementia, Alzheimer's, and concussions. And the
concussions, you know, I see it with the ball players all the time, you know, in baseball.
Yes, but then you have the brain health side on seniors. Again, not a bigger area in your world than dementia and these related situations. How do people keep their brains healthy? And
exercise
has a lot to do with it.
Oh, boy,
we've got to continue to educate these individuals when it comes. So internationally, there's always been tremendous. Again, we're watching the World Cup, where you got the world is competing.
I was going to ask you about that.
The baby boomers are following it.
You know what's been gratifying to me is all the people who've come to our country and just kind of fallen in love with America, and I love that. It's been a great boost for American
pride. Well, sports
pride
has always been one of the areas. Sports is one of the areas where we can, you know, we were excited. I had my latest gold medalist, Danny O'Shea, in pairs figure skating at the Winter Olympics. So you always hope, whether it's the Olympics or something like the World Cup, where the world gets together and we say to ourselves, it's one of our best chances to try to, you know, reduce some of the tensions and some of these different problems that we're having. So again,
international
community is very, very involved in obesity and very, very involved in health and wellness. We've got a lot to learn from the international community and vice versa.
Well, that's right. That's why I asked you the question, because you follow that. I guess the biggest kick I've been getting out of the World Cup is that the people from Europe have discovered ranch dressing.
Right. You know, it's funny. You know, I worked with the Chicago Sting, who knows how many years ago, man. Soccer was always internationally gigantic, but we couldn't sell it here. Yet all the kids played it.
Couldn't sell it here. I know.
Now,
even back when Pele came, we couldn't bring enthusiasm.
Really.
But they're following
it
now. They're having watch parties all over America. It's really something. But yeah, the baby boomers are following the World Cup. They're following baseball. They like the story in Chicago with the Chicago White Sox.
Yes. Matter of fact, the first baseball player I ever put orthotics in his spikes at the time was the Chicago White Sox, Eric Soderholm.
I remember him.
Part of the Hitmen. Yes.
He had a hypnotist.
Australian hypnotist on last week, and Soderholm was way ahead of his time when he had a hypnotist working with him in the late 70s. The team thought he was nuts, Rick.
I believe it. But the White Sox story, especially at your home base in Chicago where you broadcast from, of course you go nationally, but the White Sox are a real story, and that's been...
Hey, come on, Rick. What are you, nuts? My New York accent, man. You got to be talking to Nick.
Well,
I'm a Chicago transplant. I saw where
Aaron Boone from your Yankees there. He's having fun with his second baseman who loves lollipops.
Yes, and at the same time, the Yankees physician, Dr. Chris Ahmad, one of my constant guests.
Oh yeah,
I knew the time would fly with one of our favorite guests, Rick Barber. Rick, give us again quickly the site people could find out about you, the magazine, etc.
Yeah, please just search Today's Senior Magazine. We'd love to have you come visit, and for the baby boomers who are listening, I think you'll gain a lot of knowledge from it.
Plus, it makes you 5 years younger. Hey, as always, man, Rick Barber, thank you so much. Rick, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide.
School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey everybody, welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I want to welcome Chandani Khan. She is the founder of Return to Life, where she's helping healthcare clinics, organizations, individuals with all sorts of concussion challenges. Chandani, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. It's great to be here with you.
You know, the world of concussions and sports is so interactive. I have experts on from all over the world, different clinics, tremendous new attention. Catherine Snedeker with Pink Concussions, mm-hmm. the women's side of things.
Fantastic.
And again, it's a huge area. You've been so involved in it. Give us some background on yourself and what you're doing with Return to Life.
Sure. So a little bit of background on myself is 7 years ago, I was in a car accident and I sustained neck and back injuries, but the worst injury of all was actually a concussion. And, you know, long story short here, I didn't know that concussion injuries could, A, be actually long-lasting with persistent symptoms, and I also didn't understand the depth of symptoms and the potential impact on so many parts of my life that they could have. So that was really my entry point into the world of concussion. I experienced firsthand all the gaps in system and service that patients so commonly face. And even in the worst of my days, I knew that there had to be another way forward. I knew it didn't have to be this hard. And I knew that I wanted to create some type of solution and make it available in the space once I had my cognitive capacity restored.
Yes, you know, the challenge of an athlete on the sidelines, I remember the famous Hall of Fame linebacker, mm-hmm. Brian Urlacher, the Bears. And he facetiously said, you know, if I had that boy, my bell rung, I'd come to the sidelines and tell him my foot hurts because otherwise
right.
I'd have to go through the protocol. Or young athletes
right.
who don't admit to their parents what's going on. And the tremendous
right.
new information in the whole world, both in sports and out, let alone the military. We've had mm-hmm. on Hillary Loftus has been on my show as the education director for Working with the Wounded. Gosh,
right.
5, 6, 7 years ago, and that's
right.
why we've had so much attention with hyperbaric oxygen, et cetera. So the challenges of the information, and again, the interaction of people getting to find out about who to see, how to see it, you realized yourself that this was not so easy.
Not so easy is a, you know,
not
a good
so
high-level description. Not so, no. And you know what I realized, you know, going through my own experience, but also over the past year, it's really ingraining myself in the concussion space, in the concussion recovery space, and hearing from hundreds of people who have gone through long-term symptoms and a life derailment, you know, I realized that, you know, concussion is a subjective injury, a subjective experience, I should say, not an injury. The injury is what it is. The experience can be subjective, and what works for one person in terms of treatment may work for the next, or it may not work for the next. So as you mentioned, you know, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, there's that type of treatment. There are so many out there. But in my experience, and what I know on the patient experience side of things, it really is about finding what the best fit for you is based upon your symptoms, your personal factors, and so many other pieces. Unfortunately, there's a lot of gray space in concussion, and that's not pun intended.
Oh, yeah. There's still, in this day and age, when somebody would say, how much time really do I need? And it's all iffy. It's all
mm-hmm.
subjective, and it's been that way. Dr. Maroon, who was for 40 years the neurosurgeon of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has been a guest of mine a couple of times, again,
mm-hmm.
talking about the hyperbaric oxygen side, the
mm-hmm.
idea of trying to enhance healing in the area, but that absolutely, you have the CTE, you have
mm-hmm.
the death sentence in that situation in all the
mm-hmm.
football world, as far
mm-hmm.
as the what we've seen over the years. So the
mm-hmm.
Fact of the concussion can have a long-term effect has become absolutely
something that in sports and out of sports medicine has paid such attention to that. How have you found the psychology world, the psychiatry world, the medical professional world relating to you and your work?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm so glad to talk about this because the mental health aspect behind concussion is so often not addressed, especially in the realm of athletes, in the realm of sports. So in my own personal experience and in, you know, hearing from so many others going through this type of experience and life derailment, I've just heard consistently how difficult it is for patients to find a mental health professional, whether that is a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a registered clinical counselor, or another designation. Really hard to find a professional in that space who truly understands the depth of experience a person is going through. And I want to say this as an asterisk, so hopefully everyone, you know, hears fully what I'm saying. Now, I have so much just endless respect for people who have gone through their education and they're in these professions. We need them where they are. However, what I know, everything that I do is based in patient experience education behind concussion, and there are some needs that just are not being met.
The people person side of all of this is exactly what you're talking about. You know, I've talked about this for four decades, give or take a few weeks. I call it the mental game. Again, whether we're talking to the best athletes in the world, their parents, their coaches, and or their recovery situations, especially when we know what we've seen regarding, again, some of the concussion-related CTE nightmares in the world of football, in the world of the particular military. And again, when I've had on school psychologists over the years who have talked about, you know, Dr. Wild, you have no idea the problems with these kids, whether it's sleeping problems or anger-related situations, you know, the family side of relating with something like this and the lack of expertise.
That's right.
Once you get past maybe the emergency treatment situations, but this is, again, there's so much information out there. It's the Wild West many times.
It is
That's a functional medicine and, you know, the mental games, the Wild West.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It is the Wild West. And here's something that came up when you were sharing just now. I often look at it as there's top-line experience and there's bottom-line experience of symptoms. So the top-line experience is the physical. It's the pieces that people external to the experience of concussion can easily understand. For example, let's say person A sustains a concussion and they have migraines. People who have never had a concussion or they haven't been close to that world can easily understand, oh, you have a migraine. You're not going to come to dinner tonight, for example. But if you look at the actual bottom line experience, this is the part that is so often missed, which is the true patient experience. For example, what I found in the research that I've done and continue to have validated from various people that I speak to going through long-term symptoms and life derailment is that it really just takes a few months of no longer thinking like yourself, acting like yourself, behaving like yourself to totally lose a sense of who you are. Right? So this is something that, of course, ripples into all parts of someone's life. And it's so fascinating. When you consider the athlete population, for example, athletes are under such a very specific type of pressure. And, you know, of course, you know, nobody wants to raise their hand and say, I have a concussion. I have to let my team down. I've got to sit out. They also, you know, have been training for so long. They want to be in the game. They want to get that goal. And there's that internal reason that they're maybe not wanting to report. There's also external pressure that they face. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that athletes or everyday people who slip and fall and sustain a concussion, everybody has the top line experience and the bottom line. And the bottom line is what really drives me. And that's what I'm so driven to talk about and to start to integrate into more traditional recovery pathways.
Where do people go to find out more information about you and your work?
They are welcome to visit me at returntolife.ca, spelled traditionally. Please reach out, send an email. Also, please find me on LinkedIn, Chandani Khan. My name will be in the show notes. I welcome conversations, collaborations, anything.
Yeah, longtime guest of mine, Catherine Snedeker, who I don't know how many years ago created what was called Pink Concussions.
Yes,
and the fact that there are differences in the sexes of the concussion. Again, information. And a common trend of ours, she comes through the world. She's a master figure skating coach, but my friend Sheila Thielen and her vestibular training. Yes. and vestibular, you know, the idea of balance and the ear sensitivity, and again, working with that with brain health and concussions has been something else that's been exciting, you know, regarding, so you got the medical end, usually the over-medicated end in so many different ways, which is one of our biggest challenges, and the lack of some of the information regarding, you know, what might be where organizations, and the more serious the young athlete is, the more the pressure is there, the pressure that you was exactly talking
That's
about.
Right.
You know, what do you mean you need two Advil twice a day because your knee is killing you and you can't admit it? Maybe to your parents, or the fact that, you know, you can't sleep at night, you're dizzy, but you don't want to admit it because you might, you know, you get pulled from the game. So there are these kinds of pressures in youth sports that we've absolutely had to be paying attention to, because sometimes the concussion itself, identifying it on the sidelines, is not so easy. And many times it might be missed. And again, you know, how common is it for people to have long-term concerns in the world of concussions, just in your estimation?
Yeah, well, actually, I can speak to current research. So above and beyond my own estimation, right now, current research is indicating that approximately 30% of concussion cases go on to become persistent. And just to help define for everyone, so concussions are generally medically expected to heal within a couple of days to a couple of weeks' time, and the majority do. However, now we're seeing around 30% that go on to experience these persistent symptoms. And when I say persistent, these can be symptoms that are lasting for a few weeks, a few months, for a couple years, or I've even been in touch with people who are at 10 years out, 20 years out, 30 years out. Now, this is linked to, there are a lot more systemic issue, we'll say, a lot more concerns.
So what have you found helpful? What's been helpful for this population as you see it? What's been helpful?
Honestly, I am asked this often, and the biggest thing in general when speaking about the population is just simply awareness. Unless somebody comes from a sport background, a medical background, or they've known someone closely who has gone through a long-term concussion experience, they probably don't know about even the symptoms that they are experiencing themselves. I think about even myself, for example, when I was in the worst of it, I didn't even know, A, how poorly I was functioning at the time. I was later told by professionals and people around me. And B, I didn't have the language to understand for myself what was going on, let alone to be able to ask others for specific types of support that would have really helped me. So awareness is number one, just us having conversations exactly like this and, you know, allowing others to listen and hopefully be inspired to have these conversations later at their dinner table or with professionals, you know, and just coming together to find different ways to create integrated solutions for people who are struggling. That is first and foremost.
Especially with the, you know, the late great sports psychologist, Dr. Jim Vickery, who spent the 90s with me on and off on the radio, had some bullet points for sports parents. And he said, number one, don't be a critic. Don't be analyzing your activity on the way home. But number two is to be a good listener and to ask them how they're doing, what's going on. We'll talk more about all of this in the world of concussions with Return to Life organizer Shandani Khan. It's the Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back at the Sports Doctor. We're talking concussions. Chandani Khan, the creator of Return to Life. Give me some bullet points, Chandani, as far as what you're stressing in Return to Life and its areas of specificity.
Sure, I'd be happy to share. So what I do, in short, with Return to Life is I teach patient-centered care to concussion clinicians. So that's point number one. Point number two, by quote-unquote concussion clinician, this is anyone in allied health, anyone in medical who treats the population. This could look like a physiotherapist or a physical therapist, an osteopath. We could be talking to a medical doctor, a nurse, and so on and so forth. So the whole idea of why I do this is the idea that everything I do is based on patient experience education. And in my mind, if I'm able to bring in an understanding to these professionals, to these specialists, it's just,
do you have a location? Do you have a location to practice, or are you basically doing work internet-wide?
I offer virtual services, and the reason is that concussion is not geographically limited, so why should I be? I'm, you know, very, very privileged to work with clinics and individuals in the U.S., across Canada. I've started building out relationships in the U.K., Australia, and I really welcome people from all over to reach out. Concussion is a massive issue, regardless of where you live.
Next week we'll be on U.K. Health Radio, which is a great group of individuals, so we'll be involved in that. How has the psychiatry world related to your particular, again, the return to life in being in that particular area and the medical feedback? GPs?
Sure. So starting off with psychology, psychiatry, mental health support, this is an area of particular interest for me. As I mentioned, I have the greatest respect for people and the level of education they have and the way they're able to help from their profession. Because I hear so commonly from patients and continue to hear the great challenges in being able to find a mental health professional who's able to understand the depth of their experience beyond just perhaps approaching them with a traditional CBT or DBT approach. My interest is personally into approaching and bringing more of the well-rounded experience in, just like I do in allied care and medical care. So very honestly, what I'd like to do is be able to equip professionals who are specialists in an area with a little bit more understanding of the patient experience and further how the patient experience impacts them in in-clinic behavior. And then we round it out with offering actionable strategies to help really meet that population where they are. And again, I say this with great respect to everyone who's working in these
spaces. Well, that's the new medicine. what I talk about all the time, again, everybody get your pencils out, is the new medicine. And number one is eat smarter. We could talk all day about that. Learn about nutrition. Number two, keep moving. There's a millionaire option.
Important.
Keep moving, be active. And number three, big time, is reduce stress. And these areas are something that we want to pay attention to, the natural medicine side and the ability to make a difference. Because, again, the areas, like you mentioned, of awareness is so important because, again, the concussion situation is a very, very big deal. And so many sports, I was watching rugby a couple of days ago, and I could not believe in this day you would never invent it. There is no safe football, everybody. Tackle football, it just isn't. So you've just got to be – and, you know, we had this tremendous area. The National Football League ducked it forever. But now, all of a sudden, new attention, and I think the earlier the better – to be able to get some of this activity. Have you found the school systems and organizations assimilating with some of your information?
You know, it's very interesting. School systems, I find there's a lot. So whether it's myself, the education that I'm able to provide, or somebody else who's also working in patient-centered space with concussion, I see a big evolution with school systems in bringing in more education and bringing in more programs to teach kids at a younger age about concussion and about caring for their brain and about the importance of taking pride, in my opinion. This is something that I try to consistently offer this message, but really important to teach kids from a young age to really care for their brain and take pride in doing so. That's something that ends up being a protective factor, because if you consider a child who is, you know, playing sport from a young age, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love sport. I played sports growing up myself. I know that mentality. But if somebody is sort of has that baked within them to take pride in their brain and perhaps be somebody who is comfortable raising their hand and saying, hey, I think I have a concussion, or, you know, there might be an issue that I need medical help for, that alone would be the biggest
protective
factor.
Let alone the whole world of, you know, there are three big reasons. I've had bullying experts on over the years, and the three big reasons, and number one is obesity, and number two is physical disabilities. And number three is sexual orientation situations. Again, so care of these kids and their bodies physically is a huge area we're involved with because of this explosion of juvenile type 2 diabetes. And the fact that we've got to get activity very, very early, it's got to be something besides just organized sports. And again, taking care of the brain is such a tremendous area. And I think it's very important that these philosophies are paid attention. And again, the earlier the better.
The earlier the better. And may I just add the nuance? So taking care of the brain, but for me, from my perspective, it's really with the nuance of taking pride in taking care of your brain, because I believe that that will be a distinguishing factor for children, whether they're playing organized sport, other fitness. Yes, that is the one shift. I was recently talking to a kinesiologist, and he owns a rehab clinic. And he actually has multiple children, and one of them is playing football. And so, you know, we had this great sort of offside chat the other day, and I said, he's like, hey, what can I do? You know, the grand irony is that, you know, he works in the space. His child is involved in the sport. Yeah. He understands that, like you said, there isn't, quote-unquote, safe football.
You want to give him a pearl from the sports doctor? Number one, everybody, strengthen their feet and ankles. And number two, work balance. That's what you should tell him from the sports doctor.
I will tell him. The sports doctor said so. I'll share the segment. I'll share that with him. For him as well as for his son. And, you know, with his son, the number one tip I've given him is really get your son feeling proud to protect his brain. Because
I like that. That's an interesting area. I find with all the experts I've had in a million areas, I like that point. The idea of these kids taking pride, besides in their physical situation, what they might be doing, but the idea that we be taking pride in the mental side, which again, you know, enhancing performance has a lot to do with attitude and a lot to do with, so the brain health is a big deal. We were talking about that initially with my first guest today, but getting these kids to take pride, paying attention, I think is an interesting point. Who would argue with that, right?
Yeah, no, I'm so glad to hear your support, especially with all of your expertise and everyone you've spoken with. That's exactly it, you know, and I created this framework because I was thinking, I'm like, okay, athletes, it's a very particular population when it comes to concussion because of the levels of pressure that we discussed. There's the internal, there's the external. What is one thing that can combat? And in my mind, it's like it's your mindset. It's taking pride in your brain. It's finding a way to be comfortable. We're starting to see more cases in major sports, you know, across the U.S., in U.K., where there are players who are raising their hand and saying, hey, I had this injury. I potentially have a concussion. But we're also seeing a lot of influence on the other side where it's like, oh, a player has a concussion. They're seen for a day. They're back in the game. And, you know, seemingly, magically, everything's back to normal.
The bottom line is, bigger, faster, stronger. Quickly, send any where that people can find out more about you and your work.
So if you're interested in learning more about what I do, patient-centered education for clinicians, you can visit returntolife.ca, spelled traditionally, or find me on LinkedIn at Chandani Khan. And please reach out with an email. I'd love to connect, love to collaborate. Let's talk brain health.
Great. Thank you so much. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hold on.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom, and maybe we have time for a email or two. We want to talk about the website, et cetera, et cetera. We got some great guests coming up. Longtime sports medicine chiropractic physician Eric Williams will be returning next week. He's also a pickleball coach, so we really want to talk about some of the physical wear and tear. Everybody knows how much I've written about it. Then John Jubilee. He is a scientist and very involved in the world of intracellular hydration. So we're going to be excited to find out all the different information with John. The following week, Andrea Donsky. Menopause medicine, that whole topic is what we'll mention. And then Melanie Curtis and the champion skydiver will be having chime in with us. So some great guests and topics coming up. Everybody, again, if they want to go to my website, thesportsdoctorradio.com. You can find out all sorts of information there about the National Fitness Hall of Fame, about the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, some of our different guests, et cetera. And again, we want to mention our attention to juvenile type 2 diabetes. We're going to be launching this major effort in collaboration with some individuals in so many aspects of medicine with the Lower Extremity Review magazine and their editor, a January show. All hands and feet on deck. We want to pay big attention in the educational side and getting together with so many different experts, again, on trying to prevent type 2 juvenile diabetes. You know, in the super senior population, the Medicare population, probably, Christ, a third of the population has got diabetes. Years ago, they called it adult onset. Obesity, the nutrition side, lifestyle, everybody knows all about it. Past 20 years or so, this explosion of adolescents, diabetics, what's going on? Obesity, lifestyle, the social media, all these challenges. So we're going to be paying big attention to bringing together various experts in all our areas of medicine, lifestyle, et cetera, schools, education, and trying to make a difference. You know, I have an email here from Jerry. He said, how about exercise overkill in youth sports? You know, Jerry, why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharky Zartman, was exactly that particular reason. There's so much overkill, whether it's the overzealous parent on the sideline, whether it's some of these crazy coaches and those challenges, or whether it is, even in some instances, the medical community and the nightmares that have taken place. With painkillers, et cetera, in the world of youth sports. So these are situations that we really want to talk about. Dr. Bob wanted to mention, of course, brain health and exercise. We mentioned it with both guests today. You know, brain health is a big topic, biohacking and anti-aging and peptides. And again, a shout out to my colleagues at That One, this juggernaut podcast brand building group. We've had so many recent guests in that particular world and different interactions. It's an exciting group. And brain health is a big deal with the anti-aging community, the dementia world, the Alzheimer world, the sports performance world, the mental game. And one of the things that's been really eye-opening, again, is that exercise is a huge part of prevention, as well as dealing with these different challenges. Whether it is autism in children, exercise helpful. Whether it is the senior, super senior population, exercise is helpful. Whether it is the weekend warrior population, all levels of youth sports, again, exercise crucial. And not necessarily being on a team or an organized sport, but the challenge of getting these kids active early and having some pride, like my second guest, Chandani Khan, talked about in their brain health. And the idea of lifestyle medicine and the new medicine that we talk about all the time, which is, again, number one, eating smarter, number two, keep moving, and number three, reduce stress. Tremendous challenges in so many areas. I'm excited. I think at the end of next month, we've got Lee Steinberg, the famous sports agent, going to be joining me. And, you know, we've had individuals who are working with sometimes these multimillionaire superstars talk about the mental game in that particular situation, let alone the whole new tremendous emphasis on the physical and mental sides of high performance in sports, topics that we always want to talk about. If you want to chime in and get an email, maybe mentioned again on with our friends here at BBS Radio, drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. I want to thank my guests today, Chandani Khan and Rick Bava, and everybody. Hey, man, the sports doctor. See you next week. Thank you.